Accession number 19048, Reel 1.
Okay, so this is Harold Baldwin, tape 1, but I think you're known as Harry, actually, aren't you?
Yes, more than that, amongst other things.
Right. Could you just give me your place and date of birth, please, Harry?
15th of February, 1918, Radcliffe, Manchester. Okay. Well, near Manchester.
Okay. That makes you how old today, Harry, please?
84, 85, 85, right. I think.
Right. And what about those early times, your mother and father? What were your mother and father doing then, Harry?
Father was very sick, really. Too much drink, I think, in actual fact, originally, early. And mother didn't work. She had to look after him. I had an elder brother, really, with who had made, by good work on his own, a haulage contracting firm, and we lived, quite normal, like the local people.
Quite comfortably, would you say, Harry?
Yes, it was comfortable in a way, not lush, but comfortable. In fact, he showed me how to get the what do you call it going? Well, we better forget that. Really, out of thin air, you know, how he got this two wires together, and he got sound. And I first time I heard.
Oh, I see.
How sound?
Cat's whiskers.
That's right, cat's whiskers, that's right.
Yes.
And that's sort of how I first learned what cat's whiskers were, because I'm not mechanically minded and never was.
Right. What about sisters? Do you have any sisters?
No.
Just one brother?
Yes.
One brother. And what about your early school days, Harry? Can you remember anything about that, where you went to school?
Not particular, local school till 14, and then I think I wanted to be a baker for some reason, I don't know why, and but it never materialised properly.
So what about those school years, were you particularly keen in any subjects at school?
Or? No, not at all. Not so good on maths.
Right. What
about they weren't called maths then.
Called sums or arithmetic.
That's right.
Yes. What about sport in those days, Harry?
I was always keen on more brute strength and endurance and rougher, in actual fact.
Boxing?
No, wrestling, in fact. I'm a champion wrestler.
Oh, right.
Was a champion. Still, you know, right. Gold medal in the other room.
Gold medal for what? For wrestling. But what's the gold medal? That, where did you win that?
That was in Nairobi, during my army service in Nairobi, nine years there. And I took on the locals, and
beat them by the sounds of it.
Yes, all of the lot. I was champion, that's right. And most of them were South Africans working in the area and everything like that. And some of those South African lads were twice my size.
Because looking at you now, Harry, what are you?
Oh, I'm looking.
What are you? 5'6" height?
Probably.
And
yes.
You weigh?
I weigh a little better.
8-9 stone, then?
Oh, yes. But I was fairly average height, really. I was dance mad, right, really. You know, I was dancing every night at the Bottle Palais or wherever and everything like that. And going to Bolton, we're nearby, and things, other places, and dance mad, in fact, you know.
Yes.
Became strangely enough, with an elderly woman of about 35 years old.
Wonderful.
It never dawned on me how strange that was.
Well, I don't think it's strange, but then that's another subject.
The thing was, her husband used to bring the lady to our house in this car, and then cheerio and so on, and then we went dancing to wherever we went dancing, and then he picked her up at the end, and that went on for several years.
Right.
Well, for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And eventually, I won the slow foxtrot and the waltz competition in the Tower Ballroom, Blackpool, because I then got mad on getting to Blackpool to get to the Tower Ballroom. Every Saturday night on, I think it was about 2 shillings to go to Blackpool on a quick special, and then come back in the early hours of the morning, sleeping on the luggage racks if necessary.
How old would you have been? How old at this stage would you have been, Harry?
18 and 19.
Yeah. Sorry, I jumped in. You said yes. You won something. You were going to tell me that you won something then.
Yes, won the slow fox shot competition, the slow fox shot and the waltz competition, in the Tower Ballroom, Blackpool.
Right. And were you working at that stage?
Yes.
And doing, what were you doing?
Well, I was really learning and teaching with what would now, well, eventually he would have tried, house builder. Not a house builder, but house designer, who designed houses and things like that and built them with his little firm and so on. But eventually I worked with Sir Thomas P. Bennett and Son, the architects, worldwide architects at one time.
So you were an architect and a drawing plans at that
when
time.
I'd finished after the army, wounded in that, and that I then went on to be an architect.
Right. So that's the age of 18. I think you also said earlier that you played some rugby.
Oh yes, I was rugby mad, really. And strangely enough, I never ever got real injuries in anything. And wrestling was my real favourite, really. I mean, gold medal there to prove it.
Yes, sure.
That was in Nairobi. Was it Nairobi when I got the gold medal? Yes, Nairobi.
Yeah. And that's at the age of 18. Were there any, you recall at this stage, were there any rumblings on the horizons about things going wrong in Europe?
Well, quite frankly, I would never took any notice of what was going on, quite frankly. I really wasn't interested in things like other countries, what and so on. You know, I went to Paris a couple of times, you know, on a quick
away
weekend, and that was it. But I wasn't really interested then in things like that.
Nothing was said at home, mum and dad?
Oh, no. Quite frankly, a lot of the time, they were hardly on speaking terms.
To themselves or to you?
Oh, well, to themselves. And we used to talk through, you know, each other and everything like that.
Yes, yes.
And my brother. You know. My brother worked very hard and borrowed some money from my mother. And he built up a very good haulage contracting firm and worked his guts out.
Yes.
And he died in dreadful conditions later on, you know. Quite frankly, he got, you know, with some person who was not in a good condition. And
Right. Was he in the forces, your brother?
Oh, no.
Didn't go to the forces?
No. Oh, no, he was busy, you know, getting lorry came at night and went away, but he had a garage in Bowley, not too far from where we lived.
So what happened? Did you get some calling up papers, Harry?
I think we must have, really, because almost when it sounded, I think it was on a Sunday when we heard it, you know, the call up and everything. I think Monday. Oh, no, it came out, you know, that everybody had to report to school or depot or whatever it was. Not at our depot. There wasn't our depot in our town, Radcliffe. But had to go somewhere there and then be measured and weighed and whatever, and then went on the train following, within days of it happening.
So can you remember the day that those calling up papers came through the door?
No, I can't actually remember the day, no. But it was really absolutely right on when conscription was started, because yes. We were the very first and went to this dreadful hall, Benacre Hall in Suffolk, where I foolishly did the thing of going to get my haversack, not haversack, the floor thing, what they call it on the floor, the thing you fill with straw.
Yes. I'm not sure, but the bed thing.
That, yes, and I did foolishly, always wanted to get that little bit extra, so I packed it full, and then of course couldn't sleep on it. You know, I had to...
Straw was sticking through the...
No, there was too much straw in it, it was just solid, and I couldn't sleep on the thing, and what's more, I'd somehow got in this Hemingham Hall, which was a beautiful place, completely empty. And I was near the door. I went near a door, you know, and this thing. Well, of course, and I had to sleep here on the floor, on this sack that wouldn't go down. So I really had a couple of dreadful nights until I learned how to...
To pack this thing.
How to pack the thing properly and get it. And it was in the winter, then that September, I think it was. Was it then?
September of 39?
I think it must have been, because it was then when we went outside to have a wash, the wash basin was frozen up. The wash basin was frozen up. So it must
I think from memory, war was declared September of 39.
Yes, that's right. And yes, it was.
I presume you're saying that you went in fairly soon after
that.
Oh,
immediately. It was within...
How old were you then, Harry?
I've been dancing or whatever. Probably early 20, maybe about...
Born 1919, were you saying?
Yes.
Yes, about 20.
Yes, about 20, something like that.
And did you go immediately into... Which regiment did you go into?
The South Lancashire Regiment.
South Lancashire.
South Lancashire Regiment, yes.
And what about your...
There was a colonel.
Big man.
Yes.
You can't remember his name?
No, I can't, actually. Okay. But I remember the adjutant got me as his batman early on and showed me how to fold his socks so that he could get on them quickly, you know. And they were from a territorial unit who had taken over. And they were living just the same as if it was, you know, dressed. You how to get these tight trousers very, 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 very tight on.
Yes.
And the things I saw were unbelievable that went on, you know.
Well, tell us about those things.
Oh, well... Finally, they said so-and-so soup. So-and-so soup.
Spitting in the soup.
Sorry. Yeah, but... You know.
This was spitting in the officer's soup that they didn't like. They didn't like these particular people, so...
Yes, and you didn't want to be called up from your dancing days and whatever, and missing your dancing effort, to go... pulling people's socks and everything. And on top of it, I should tell you this one. I couldn't drive, never did want to drive, and never have driven. And yet I had had to go to this office and do sort of Batman to him, I suppose, in a way. Batman has to be good looking. And I had to, you know, I had to fold his socks, he showed me, and, you know, and everything like that, this, that, and the other. And then he wanted some, I remember it to this day, Fern toilet soap. He's ran out, Fern toilet soap. So he wanted some more toilet soap. So he told me to go to Beckles in a van, with a van, driving, which I had no idea. But they had said to me when we first went on, well, there's a guy ant on the playground, and the guy ant had about four or five gears going this way and team going that way, and you learned to drive that way. But I had no idea and no intention of ever driving, and no, I still can't drive.
Was there any particular reason for that, Harry?
I don't know. I had a psychological thing about driving, but I just couldn't learn all this thing. And he sent me to Beckles to get him a bar of soap, Fern soap, in a vehicle. And I went, you know, that couldn't drive. And I went through Beckles. Incidentally, the Crown, you couldn't sue the Crown then for any damage, mm-hmm. which was very fortunate. And I went to Beckles doing various things, everything like that, for this soap, and got this bar of soap and came back again. And I remember the back of the van that came down, that toggle thing went here, and the thing went through it and everything like that.
Like a tailgate that dropped down.
Yeah. And somebody who was in the back said, "Oh, Harry, look what you've done." And I did, and there I went along, slicing through vans, the baker's van and everything like that, with the piece that was
sticking out,
and sheared it through. Came round, when we came to Beckles itself, we came to these beautiful gates, fabulous gates, with the hound, the crest on the top, I can see it today, the crest on the top, you know, carved on top, this is where we stay in Beckles, was two hounds, a hound on each one. The gates were wide open. One gate was wide open, that's right. One gate was wide open, and I decided to go through the other one, taking down the hound off his perch and everything. And the whole thing was demolished. Well, following the Court of Inquiry, it was deemed I should never drive again. You know,
I need
not drive in the army.
So, yes. See? It wasn't a case that you couldn't drive because you'd just driven to Beckles.
Yes.
It was just a case that you weren't very good at it.
Yes, and I didn't want to come. You know, yeah. Miss my dancing.
No, that's right.
Dancing to go buying. Bar of soap from town and whatever and so on, and I just couldn't cope with it in fact.
What about
incidentally we lived in one of the king's or prince's hunting lodges there in the town nearby anyway.
Right.
So that stopped me driving.
Yeah.
And I never drove from there onwards.
Right.
And still don't drive.
Right. But what about other training? I'm thinking of things like weapons training and infantry training.
Ah, well, following this, you know, the damage done, so on, so they thought we'd better give him something to do. So a new weapon, a sort of weapon had come into, a two-pounder anti-tank gun, which did a complete circular traverse. You could do your thing with the computer.
Fire in any direction.
That's right. And so on. So they immediately, after the Court of Inquiry, sent me on the course. I was the first one to be on the first course for this Panzerwaffe. And I remember bashing two probably colonels with high polished boots and everything as I did my traverse. Whoever said, traverse left, I traverse right. And, you know, they happened to be in the way. It was just too bad. So I was quickly removed from the round thing, you see.
From that, the gun that went all the way around.
That's right.
Yes.
So then somebody... it was a court of inquiry. So
court of inquiry.
Yeah, so after the court of inquiry, I was then posted to a unit that was starting off a new idea, the same system, but not going round. You see, completely, you had to have it in the difference. And then came the proper two-pounder gun, which was static. You put down a trail at the back and so on, and you could move round.
Mm.
And eventually that turned into the six-pounder.
Mm.
And I was one of the first to then demonstrate to other units on six-pounder anti-tank gunnery.
So you did become then, after this
a useful part of the army.
A useful gunner, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
You wouldn't say yourself today, would you? What about small arms training?
Never had any, really. Not really, because I had a revolver. And I've never had small arms training at all. Not really.
Yeah.
You had general thing. In fact, not training, you're supposed to know it, somehow know it.
Mm. You were obviously a private when you went in.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
I got to, high rank of doing a corporal, full corporal, for this gun and everything. But I did teach the first East Lancashire... South Lancashire Regiment, as they were then, how to use this traversing.
Yes.
£2. You know.
Had Dunkirk happened at this stage?
Oh, yes. Oh, Christ, yes.
What can you recall about that?
Dunkirk. Oh, no. Sorry. Not Dunkirk.
This is before Dunkirk.
Oh, yes. Much Dunkirk. Never knew it as Dunkirk and actually had things. I was then, we were in six sections of training. Six, you know, corporals and sergeants were in charge of a group of people the various things, because you got to have your driver, your proper driver, your donar, you know, your
motorbike
person, everything like that. And eventually you ended up with about 20 or 30 people per gun, you know, with the doings and everything like that. And one thing I always thought was, they never taught people how to cook, because you always began to find that you were always planted too far forward of the actual battalion, the battalions, wherever it is.
Mm.
But the anti-tank and anti-tank guns are supposed to go in a hovel or wherever you could find, or
hiding place.
Always in front of the infantry to stop the tanks getting to the infantry.
Yes.
So your battalion was behind you, and you were in, wherever you could get. I always found comfortable places, because I liked my comfort even then.
Yes.
And we got in barns and everything like that, and barns, and we'd get on the straw that was in the barn, you know, the hay piled up, and we'd knock bricks out, and we'd peer through and everything like that, and we could work that way.
Mm. So let me just think. So at this stage, you were a corporal, were you?
Yeah.
And in charge of a team of people, we'll call them.
Yes.
On a £2 gun.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, and then eventually I was in charge of two sections. You got sections, and each one had two lots of everything, in actual fact. On one bridge, a very good photograph came up on the in the London Illustrated News, showing, in fact, I had it, you know, I had the cutout and everything like that, where this great big pile of debris in one of the things was, in fact, my gun. It was a great big pile of old cartons thrown out and everything like that, but watching one point where the Germans went across with the, you know, they had a lot of horses, as you probably know,
yes,
you know, the horse-drawn things and everything like that, dashed across, and we, oh, we got two more, so and so, we did that. And the London Illustrated News had, the London Illustrated had several pictures of me on this particular thing, on this particular bridge,
right,
you know, with the two, because I had another gun, a junior thing, a land sergeant, on another way. And in fact, he was supposed to cover that, and I would cover that.
Yes.
So we got to organise at last.
But
six-pounder incident in the den, then, they really were.
Yeah. Bigger guns.
Yes.
Bigger. Mm. But of course, the war is going on a bit now, isn't it?
Yes,
isn't it?
That's right. We got into France itself, you know, we got way in. I remember we never seemed to be able to keep, we always had a captain in charge of us. And we used to get one who was a bit, you know, come on, lads, come on. And everything like that, and he'd even take you on, he never would. And I remember walking into in Cannes, when we got, you know, we got onto the road to Cannes, we got onto Cannes, and walked into a church that was all damaged and the whole thing. And I remember this lieutenant, we used to call him Flash Harry, that's right, Flash Harry. He was an ex-paratrooper who for some reason had been, you know, lieutenant he was. He'd been maybe taken off, you know, the parachute business, and he was in charge of our guns and everything like that, but he didn't really know a lot about it, but he generally agreed with what you wanted to do. And I remember us walking into this church with the roof and everything gone, and how both of us took our hat off as we walked in. Surprising. Sorry.
Yes. Absolutely.
Surprising.
But if I can just stop you there a second, Harry, because there's a whole chunk left out, because you were training in 1940, around the time of Dunkirk, but then you hopped on 4 or 5 years then, so into Cannes, a bit later in the war. So,
oh, sorry, yeah.
No, that's okay, that's okay, that's good. But I'm just thinking, really, when did you first hear that you might be going abroad, going to France?
Well, about, I heard of it, quite a bit before it was generally known, really, because at one time I was sent with, half a dozen soldiers to a meeting of colonels. And we had Colonel, oh God, what's he called? I've got a letter from him, in actual fact, he wrote to me in hospital. He was a real, you know, marvellous chap.
This is the South Lancashire man?
Yes.
Yes.
Colonel, I forget his name. Dear me. And he wrote to me in hospital on that.
Works.
Very, very good. Very, very good. In fact, the letter disintegrated, I remember, by being folded, and I stuck it all together with sellotape, and the sellotape dried it up and cracked, and that's how it disappeared. But he was marvellous.
And through him, you heard prematurely that you might be going to France.
Well, yes, because I went, I didn't, not prematurely, but I, quite frankly, Keyhole.
Yes.
I worked as a sergeant then, and myself and two or three of the lads and everything like that went to, we were near Brighton. In fact, we were at Brighton, that's right, because my dance, my dance place at Brighton, the, it's now a bank, and that's right. And we went to this boarding house type place, all upon these stairs, and colonels from various units were all in this place, and they were having their meeting in this boarding house on the top floor. And we, who were the guards to, for our own particular colonel and I think lieutenant, waited outside and that. And I was busy thinking, oh, I'd love to go get out here and go dancing and so on and that. And in actual fact, later on, I managed to get out. And the night before D-Day, at a dance, just near, near Brighton, I won, I don't smoke incidentally, I won a big thing like this for...